There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You got 5 seconds.
Fandor is proud to be a sponsor at the Sonoma International Film Festival. Thanks to SIFF for 25 years of raising the bar and elevating new talent from around the world. Bringing people together through film, food, wine, and fun. That's our kind of festival. Cheers to a great year for independent cinema.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another Fandor video podcast. My name's Hooman, and there's Chris Kelly.
How you doing, Hoop?
And
Brent. Making it all happen.
All right, our next guest is a guy named Mark Schaefer. And Mark Schaefer made a film called Exposing Moy Bridge. And I am so excited about this movie. This is part of our series with the Sonoma Film Festival, highlighting films that are going to be at the Sonoma Film Festival 2022, all in person. Mark, before we get into your film, tell us a little bit about yourself and then tell us about your movie.
No worries. Yeah, thank you so much for having me, everybody. There's very few things I like talking more about than my movie and myself. I'm a longtime documentary filmmaker. I've worked in journalism mostly for television. This is my first truly independent documentary where I sort of had to raise all the money myself. And so here we are. It finally got to the mountaintop.
All right. Tell us what the movie's about, because this is so fascinating.
Okay. It's called Exposing Muybridge, and it's about a photographer named Muybridge, Edward Muybridge, who changed our world with his camera in the 19th century here in the San Francisco Bay Area, where he began a career as a decorated, celebrated landscape photographer, and then became the first photographer to capture something moving faster than the human eye can see, which were Leland Stanford's galloping horses. And that eventually led to the development of proper cinema, why you and I are sitting here chatting to each other this way.
It really is an amazing story. I mean, this guy's life, Chris, is riddled with murder, adultery, bastard child, and then just betrayal, backstabbing, and then it's just misery, pure, simple misery.
Well, and fascinating for the Bay Area, I might add that it was Leland Stanford's horses that were captured.
And Mark does a really good job highlighting that. Okay, so how did you find out about this guy? Why did you choose this topic?
Well, it was another Bay Area connection. I was making a film on the early Jewish community of San Francisco back in 2012. And I was...
It wasn't about the Jewish community in 2012, right?
Oh, no, that's right. It was about the early Jewish community. Right around the Gold Rush time, and we went up until 1915. That's when we cut it off. Mm-hmm. But I needed photographs to work with in the film, and I had an archivist, and she brought me different photos. There weren't that many, actually, in that period. But I kept really liking some of these photos. They were really kind of haunting, and this photographer, he often had people sort of looking away from the camera, which was odd to me, but they were looking out to vanishing points, Golden Gate or the harbor or whatever it might be. And I was curious and saw his name. I didn't know who he was, Muybridge, and punched him in Google. And then I immediately realized that he was a major, major deal.
Wow. Yeah.
And very much deserving of a film. And so I decided to make one.
All right. So in your movie, you've got, you know, a lot of photography curators and historians, all the, you know, the regular characters you have in a documentary, which every documentary has. But then you have Academy Award winner Gary Oldman. How in the world did you land him? How did you make him agree to do this? Because honestly, like, one thing I realized watching your film is when you have a bunch of historians talk, it's not, it's just not amazing. It's kind of boring. And I've seen so many documentaries like that. But when you throw in that special sauce, that Gary Oldman, it literally elevates your, because, and you sprinkled him in just right. There wasn't too much Gary and there wasn't too little Gary. It's just the right amount.
The Goldilocks approach.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How did you get him?
Well, I got him, to answer that question, I got him by asking, you know, over and over again, by the way. You know, I started by going through the front door and approaching his representation. That didn't go anywhere. I knew it wouldn't, but I didn't at that point know anybody who knew him or how to get to him. And because this film took so long to put together, over the course of time, I met so many people. I ended up working with a guy named Luther Gerlach, who's in the film, who plays our Mybridge in a couple of recreations, but also he's a very well-regarded wet plate photographer, and he speaks in the film about that. And he knew Gary, and I can explain why, but he knew Gary, and he had a contact for him, a direct email, and he gave it to me. And so then I started emailing Gary without any reaction. You know, I come from news and in news documentary, and you just don't take no for an answer. You just keep going. And so I just kept re-emailing him every now and then saying, hey, I'm back, you know.
And
he didn't answer my last email. And turns out that he was shooting Mank, and he was off the grid. And so he came back, and one day I got this email in my inbox. And I also had approached him because he has a collection. And I was interested in pieces in his collection that I knew he had. And so I approached him for that. And I think he maybe that seemed to intrigue him quite a bit. And I think we've never really talked about this, but I think it kind of made him respect me more than if I just was approaching him as a celebrity. And then he made a lot of sense for the movie. He's super, super knowledgeable. He's written a screenplay about Edward Mybridge.
So that was the question. Like, my question is, how did you know that you needed him? Like, how did you discover that he had this weird Mybridge connection?
Well, I do a lot of research. Everybody does when they do this kind of thing. You read everything you can find. And, you know, I saw this really small, tiny little mentions in the trade publications that he was doing a Mybridge film.
Okay.
And I saw this in 2013. And I thought, at the time, I thought, well, my film would be done in a year or two. That's how I found out about it. And then when I reached him, you know, we got into a conversation about Mybridge. Eventually, I said, gee, would you sit for an interview? You're so good. You're so interesting. You know so much about him. And I asked him if I could film him doing wet plate photography, which is a hobby of his. And he sort of said, no, I'm not an expert on wet plate photography. You already have Luther. I'm an expert on character. Mm. And I thought to myself, to your point about scholars, and I think our scholars, by the way, are very human and interesting and terrific, but I absolutely recognize the difference in the dynamic of listening to Gary talk about Mybridge and say Marta Braun.
Yes.
Gary, when he talks about Mybridge, he's interpreting his character.
Yep.
Like an actor would, right? He's really, and he's done a lot of thinking about this because he wrote a whole screenplay and he was going to make it into a movie. And he's an artist himself. And so when he's describing Mybridge, he's really relating to him. And so often he uses himself. He talks about himself. At one point he says Mybridge in this very spicy moment in the film where Mybridge is betrayed. And he loses this opportunity to give this talk to this grand audience in England. You know, Gary says, it's like the Oscar. It's the respect of your peers. And I thought, you know, obviously he's talking about himself.
Yeah.
And so his capacity to sort of interpret Mybridge that way, just, and he's of course super colorful and funny.
Listen, I want to interrupt you here because I'm dying to know something, and maybe I should have asked you this off the record, but So a little bit of a spoiler alert in the movie. So just bear in mind, this doesn't ruin the film by any means, but there's a bastard child in this film. And the bastard child gets sent off to an orphanage. Do you have any idea what happened to that kid? Does anyone know what happened to that kid?
Yeah. I should really look this up. I know what happened to him, but I'm not 100% certain.
All right, tell us what you know.
I can tell you generally what happened. So, and this is in, like, Rebecca Solnit wrote a book about Muybridge, and it's in that book. And the story's online. You can find it. He never had any children. So there's no legacy. There's no lineage from Muybridge, right? So there's nobody out there who's a Muybridge descendant. He goes from the orphanage, I think around 8 or 9 years old. They send him off to live with a family who has a farm. And he becomes like a farm worker for this family, which was, I think, was common at the time with orphans. And he eventually just grows up and becomes like a farm worker in the Central Valley of California. And then in the, what would that be, the 30s, 1930s, he's hit, I believe, by a train. It might be a car, but I'm almost certain it's a train. Oh, and he's killed.
Oh.
And he's in his early 60s, I think, at that point. And if you actually put Florado Muybridge in Google, eventually you'll find a grave marker for him. It'll say, you know, find your grave. There's a website. And he's buried, I think, in Sacramento.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, wow.
Listen, okay. I'm going to tell you something. If you guys see this movie, it's just one gut punch after another. And this guy, Muybridge, he's not a good guy either. Like, everyone is just like, you're like, what the? Is anyone going to catch a break? Is the right thing going to happen? I have one other question about the film. All of those pictures that are now property of the University of Pennsylvania, when they look at that today, the people that, you know, the board of directors, the president of the school, are they grateful that back in 1870 or so they have those? Like, do they realize what they have? Is it a big deal? Do you know the answer to this?
The folks who have the archives of Muybridge, you mean?
Yes.
To an extent, they of course appreciate it, and some of the archives have direct relationships. So you've got, like, the University of Pennsylvania, which is where he did the sort of his magnum opus after he does his horse stuff with Muybridge. Well, I mean, with Stanford, which is actually done on Stanford's Palo Alto horse farm, which is now the land that Stanford University sits on.
Well, there we go.
He eventually ends up in Europe. Then there's this big betrayal, and he comes full circle. He's doing this little touring around, showing his pictures, and the University of Pennsylvania asks him to continue his work there. So, and then he produces this incredible work of motion photography that at the University of Pennsylvania, 781 plates of animals and people, mostly naked, doing various motions. And so, yeah, I think the University of Pennsylvania is proud of that legacy. They have a page on their website directed to, about him and dedicated to him, and they're proud of that, as is Stanford and some of the other museums. But his work, it's not like painting, so there isn't one, right? So there's like many copies of these images.
Yeah,
they're not unique, and so to have the collection doesn't quite have the same special quality. But I think most people I worked with, and I worked with a lot of archives to get these images, and I had to get the images often recreated for me. They weren't large enough. The resolution wasn't sufficient for me to hone in on a narrow little detail of a photograph, which you see in the film. And so like the Welcome Collection in London was re-photographing with very high-end cameras their images for me, as was Stanford. So yeah, I think there is an appreciation for who Muybridge is, for sure.
One thing I really appreciate by the end of your movie is you show a bunch of artists that were inspired by Muybridge. So that was really good. All right, so...
If I can just add, Hooman,
yes.
The latest of that is if you see the trailer for the new Peele film, Nope.
Yeah.
The trailer begins with an animated Muybridge horseback riding.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So, all right. So what day and time is this screening in Sonoma Film Festival?
Okay. It plays twice. It plays Saturday, the 26th of March at 2 at Andrews Hall. That has a limited number of tickets available to the general public for purchase on the website now. You can get them. It plays again on Sunday, March 27th at 5:30 at the Sonoma Valley Women's Club. That's reserved for pass holders, but the tickets will be available on a rush basis at the box office pending availability.
Okay, cool.
Very cool.
And then let's end with this. Tell us a few movies that inspire you.
Just a few?
Yeah,
I had to write them down, so I'm putting my glasses on, right?
Do it.
I have a lot of movies, obviously, for various reasons. When We Were Kings, the documentary about Muhammad Ali.
Yeah,
I love that movie. I saw that movie when I was still, I think, at an impressionable age, and really made me want to make documentary films. I was just so moved by it. I thought Exit Through the Gift Shop, that documentary about Banksy, was fantastic. And made me sort of question my thought about what is true, because that film is loaded with that question of whether it's an actual documentary or some kind of a made up thing. The Fog of War by Errol Morris is fantastic. And I love that. In the fictional space, I grew up watching Blazing Saddles over and over again. And I love Mel Brooks. You know, I'm Jewish. You know, I love that man. You know, Silence of the Lambs was an amazing film. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yeah. An incredible, incredible movie. Moonlight, a more recent vintage film, I thought was just fantastic. So, you know, movies that make me feel and dream and inspire on some level, or make me think or rethink the way I think about the world. Those are my kind of films.
Fantastic. Beautiful.
His name is Mark Schaefer. His film is Exposing Muybridge. It's at the Sonoma Film Festival. Mark, one last question. If people want to get in touch with you, like, what's the website? How can they get in touch with you?
Sure, no problem. Go to www.muybridgethemovie, M-U-Y-B-R-I-D-G-E, muybridgethemovie.com. And there's a contact tab. You can pull it down, and there's an email there. It's very easy to reach me.
All right, Mark. Thanks so much. We wish you nothing but the best, man.
Excellent.
Thanks to all of you.
Have a good one.
Thanks, bro.
All right. Take care.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.